Welcome to the Conscious Business Telesummit. Take a nice deep breath. And just exhale and just kind of just relax into right now. Whether you're seated or standing or walking around. And just feel your breath fully filling your body, permeating your cells, creating spaciousness between cells, so much so that your body and your being expands to accommodate your boundless spaciousness. And just noticing your breath on the inflow and on the outflow. The coolness coming in, the warmth on the exhale. And just noticing how your breath bridges your body and your being and taps you into this weave of interconnected life, into one another, to all that is. And feel how the spaciousness, the brilliance that is you, ripples and flows, expands easily and effortlessly. Until you are as big as all that is and feel your conscious connection and communion with life. Feeling your connection to the offer that is on this call today around the story of your business, around the quest for your heroic business, and the folks who are here to facilitate the conversation. And that's all of you, your energy present, being in consciousness with us, contributing and being a part of this ripple of conscious business, creating a new story for you, for we, and for all. One more deep breath. And exhale. Thank you. So, our call today is with Chris Cade, and the topic of our conversation is the quest for a heroic business. Chris Cade is a visionary behind the world's number one spiritual story site on the internet. He also holds 2 second-degree black belts in Taekwondo from different schools, earned the national championship title for creative forms competition in 1994, and placed bronze at the Super Grands World Games, also in 1994, for creative forms competition. In April of 2009, just this year, Chris asked his employer to lay him off so that he could follow his heart's dreams to empower people worldwide with his network of spiritual websites, the Inscribe Your Life program, and his upcoming printed books. Welcome, Chris. It's wonderful to have you here.
Yeah, it's wonderful to be here. Thank you for having me on. I'm really looking forward to this.
I know. I'm really looking forward to this, too. And, you know, one of the things that I really enjoy is how I come to connect with people. And there is always some story inside of me that connects, you know, with the story of you. And I remember when I came across you, I actually found you on Facebook. And I don't really even remember how the connection started. You may have initiated the connection. But I remember really resonating with this idea of writing the story of your life. And I thought, what if we wrote the story of our business? And so that was the initial, you know, impulse to have you on our Conscious Business Telesummit. So I'm glad that you could join us. So the Inscribe Your Life program, as I was going through it, is so amazing, just this whole idea of rewriting the story. One of the things that I've said in my courses and trainings is that we're story makers and story shapers and meaning makers. that no matter where we are, what we're doing, there's always a story going on. So I would love to know, Chris, how you came upon this whole the idea of writing stories and how it unfolded for you.
Well, it actually is a little bit of a long story, but I had no interest in spirituality whatsoever. It wasn't something I was interested in. And I was in a relationship at the time, and every few months the issue came up that my significant other, Laura, was interested and very involved in her spiritual path, and I just didn't have one. It wasn't interesting to me. I had a comfortable job, had a girlfriend, lots of friends, social life. You know, I had what I perceived to be the good life, so I was like, spirituality, there's nothing in that for me. But every few months it came up as a sore spot in our relationship. And every time I kind of just disregarded it. And then after we got married, Laura basically said, you know what, either you get a spiritual path or you get a divorce lawyer. And I didn't like that much at all. I was pretty angry, furious. But I also, as you know, have a very successful past. And so I didn't want to be a failure. I had fears of rejection, codependency issues, all this stuff coming together. So although people might say I had a choice, I really didn't. I had to go look into this spirituality thing reluctantly. And so I checked it out and sort of found some things that interested me and found a book on the shelf, a title that caught my attention, flipped it open. And the page I opened to was basically this author saying his niece came to him and asked, you know, spirituality, what's in it for me? And he wrote the entire book to try and answer that question for her. And I thought, okay, this is probably the right book for me to be reading right now. So I picked that one up and I read it and I liked it. And I kept following the clues. And that's how my spiritual path unfolded. Now, exactly in parallel with my spiritual path unfolding, my entrepreneur path unfolded. And the way it started was Laura had been writing her own spiritual stories for her own personal development, and she wanted to share them with friends and family. So I made a little tiny website and decided, okay, we'll share it with, you know, friends and family, you know, 20, 30 people a month at most. And I thought it'd be neat to learn about online business. So I put some Google AdSense on there and started a mailing list. And over time, what we found was other people like Laura were writing their own stories. And in addition to that, people just love stories. They love to read them. So I ended up building this site with parables as well as stories written by people just like us who had something to share and didn't have a place to share it. And that's how the website Spiritual Short Stories was born, and it just continued to grow until it did become the number one spiritual stories website online. And so in that process, what happened was I just knew Laura was the story writer. It wasn't me. You know, the labels that were involved were she writes, and I just build the business, especially since for a lot of that time I wasn't even interested in spirituality. So it really was just me trying to learn some business skills. But along the way, I decided I just felt compelled to write a story. So I wrote my first story. And after I wrote it, I realized, wow, this is a really good story. I write good stories about myself. And so, but I wasn't a good writer. I wasn't a writer. I just, you know, identified with having written a good story. And then another time I wrote another story about myself. And I thought, yeah, I'm really good at writing stories about myself. Again, I was inspired and then wrote a story about an animal. And what happened is I went through this process of writing a story and then telling myself I'm only good at writing stories about this topic and I am not a story writer. And I kept using these labels to define myself until eventually I realized that I was writing stories of all kinds, and whether I wanted to admit it or not, I was a story writer. And so when I went through this process, I also found I was growing through the process, that I was transforming myself and in the process also affecting other people with my writing. And just like the stories, I just had this impulse to just get it out on paper, get out this process. And that's how Inscribe Your Life was born. I just pardon the graphic image, but I almost had like this, you know, what I call like a soul vomit. You know, you just, you mm-hmm. have this stuff in you and you just have to get it out. And that's how Inscribe Your Life came out. And it certainly wasn't by the same title in its first form. And I just wanted to share it with one person to affect one person. And when I shared it with a person, they told me that more people needed to hear about it, that it really would had the potential to impact a lot of people. And I wasn't quite sure about that since I already had enough, you know, issues around not calling myself a writer and stuff. But
mm-hmm.
lo and behold, what happened was I just kept writing and building the program and connecting it with more people. And the more people it connected with, the more I realized that it needed to connect with more people. And so it just kind of snowballed from there to become what it is today.
Mm.
And that is the journey.
The journey. It evolved is what it sounds
yeah.
like. And it started off with an impulse that you had in a response to a problem, actually.
Right.
Which really speaks, you know, as I was going through your program, you speak about that, how these, how conflicts or how, you know, conflict resolution is, you know, sometimes we are like, oh, you know, we've got this problem. But there's actually, it's very juicy. Conflict resolution, actually, aside from, you know, the reality of it in real life and what it brings you into in terms of its potential, also in a story is boring unless there's a conflict. Isn't that true?
Oh, yeah. If we don't have conflict in a story, it really isn't even a story. I mean, it's just
yeah.
some words that sound kind of nice. You know, as we're talking about this, I think a really good reference point for what we're going to talk about today is Joseph Campbell's hero's journey.
Mm.
And as I talk about some of these different aspects of the hero's journey, I'd like the people listening to think about how each of these steps was embodied in the story I just told about how I got to where I am. And Joseph Campbell says the hero's journey sort of starts where a person feels restless, something's not working in their life, and they feel like a sense of destiny is calling them to something greater. And so as a result, they take a step away, a departure from some of their old ways, and go on the journey. And somewhere along that journey, they find mentors, but they also find guardians that are marking sort of this point of no return, telling you, you know, the gargoyle that says, when you go past this line, you're committing to something new, and there's going to be challenges. And those challenges, you know, metaphorically, are in the realm of dragons, foes that we need to slay. And then beyond that, we get the treasure, rescue the princess, whatever the goal is, and then we return home and share that bounty with the people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's literally the path that I went through. And when we're talking about our business story, I think, honestly, every entrepreneur goes through this process where something isn't working, they have an issue, they have a conflict, and they just have to go seek out, they have to find the solution, they have to overcome the challenges, and then they bring it back and share it. And that sharing, that giving of our story to others, that value, is what we create in terms of products, business, services that then people pay us for. They're paying us for our hero's journey. That at the end of the day, that's really kind of where the value exchange is, our journey, and they're, you know, returning that value to us.
Yeah, that certainly is. So when we're starting out on this this hero's journey for our business, what are some of the things that you can share in terms of the story part of it that can help us?
Well, the first thing we really need to be aware of is how we are going to embody that hero's journey within our business. You know, I shared a lot about how I got here, my own personal hero's journey. And that's the type of story that we need to be bringing to our customers, our subscribers, the people that we are looking to connect with. Because when we look at what the hero's journey is, I mean, in a nutshell, what we're doing is, you know, we're confronting the metaphorical or literal death. We're following the wisdom of our heart. And the result is that when we bring this journey back to people, we're bringing it to people who want to feel like they're larger than just themselves, larger than life. They're part of something big. And the hero's journey is what enables us to connect with people authentically and show them that anybody can do it. So the first place is just to make sure that the people who place their trust in us. They know our past. They know how we got to the point where we're being of service. Because then they know that, you know, if I could do it and I was a person who wasn't interested in spirituality and I had no business experience, I mean, I had a business degree, but no entrepreneurship experience, no marketing knowledge, and no spiritual knowledge. And if I could do that in just a few years, anybody can really do it. So I think that's the first thing, is really just making sure that our story is getting out there and that we're making sure that people can hear it, and they can hear it authentically. They know that it's real and tangible.
So I'm certain I'm hearing this question, you know, from people in the audience, because we've got folks that are in the beginning in their business. And so when you're in the beginning of your business, how do you figure out what your story is? How do you put it together in a way that's recognizable when you start putting it out there?
Well, I think actually this is a good time to introduce some activities that a couple people could do.
Okay.
One is to spend 10 minutes just brainstorming how you want your customers to perceive you. What are some of the emotions, the thoughts, the labels that you want them to be identifying with you? And this is really important because it's going to give you the sort of the foundation, the energy of the story that you're going to be bringing to people, the type of relationship you're going to be building. Because at the end of the day, you know, we've been building labels since our childhood, and every label carries a story. When we pick up a glass, that glass has a whole story. Did we break it when we were a child? Is it hard? Is it soft? Did it fall on our head? Is it great for drinking, you know, our favorite drink? And the same thing applies to the people that we're connecting with, the customers. You know, what is it that we want them to be perceiving as us? What are the emotions? You know, I just went through this exercise today, and, you know, a few different things came to mind. You know, things like telling great stories, being a partner, being real and tangible. And those are just a few qualities that I feel I want to connect with and people to identify with me. Mm-hmm. And so that helps me whenever I'm looking at, for example, how to share my story online, how to write my biography. When I'm thinking about making a product, what are the types of experiences I want people to have when they engage with my work? So yeah, 10 minutes of brainstorming on just how you want people to perceive you is very important. And the flip side of that is a second exercise, which is 10 minutes of brainstorming how you perceive your customers. Now, this may be more challenging at the beginning of building your business, but one thing I really advise is, whenever possible, be responding to customer emails, to support tickets, at least for a while. Be in touch with that. Because when you get in touch with the feedback that you're getting, you're going to understand how you then perceive your customers. And you can start looking at what are some of what you might call the quote-unquote positive traits of, you know, your customers and how you perceive them, as well as the negative traits. And I don't mean that in terms of like a judgment, good or bad. I think it's more a better description would be how close they are to their authenticity or living the life that they want, or how further away they are. And when I was doing this exercise, I found that the the people, you know, as I was perceiving the people that I've been emailing with, there's sort of two different directions. One are, because we are in a conscious business and environment, people are more conscious than average, and they've often either found their true self or are on that path to finding their true self, tend to be less judgmental often. And at the same time, the flip side of that is, as we are on the path, we are seeking. Sometimes we're in pain. Sometimes we're scared. Sometimes we're a little lost and we're looking for some answers. And at the heart of it, for me, in answering these questions, you know, there's always the fact that the people that I'm connecting with and the way that I perceive them are, you know, about a love of stories. And so that's where my story actually weaves into stories. So when we find that cross-section between how we perceive our customers and how they perceive us, then we can start to tie these strands together and say, okay, this is how I want to be presenting myself. This is the language that I want to be using in my marketing. You know, language is a great, wonderful way. I'm still learning about that and excited to. So those are just a couple ways that people just getting started can start looking at how to build their story and what types of things they can integrate from those exercises in with their own hero's journey. What is it that brought them to entrepreneurship, and why? What distinguishes them from other people? And a lot of marketing people talk about the unique selling proposition. I don't think it's so much about the marketing perspective of a unique selling proposition. I really like to think of it as more of a personal thing. What do I uniquely bring as myself? Not so much the product, but as myself, what am I bringing? And that becomes the story as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen on some websites also, and also even some marketing folks recommending what's your story? I mean, what's the reason that you're in this business? Because when you're an entrepreneur, it really is a coming together of a lot of different abilities and a lot of different talents, and it is a unique kind of a business. And so it comes into being, and there's usually a reason for it. It's something that you really feel strongly about, and I can't think that it's only about money.
Right.
Because it's not, because there are easier ways to make money, aren't there, Chris?
Definitely. I've been down that path. You know, I left the comfortable six-figure work from home, low stress, you know, perfect job.
Yeah.
And that was easy. That was the easiest money I ever had. Certainly not, certainly a lot easier than what I'm doing now.
Yeah. So, Chris, how do we tap? Because the thing that keeps you keeping on when you've got your own business, there is something really deep that's coming through you that is compelling, that you can't say no to. This is what I've found in my own experience. That even though, you know, the money had at different periods were in my own business, when the money was coming up and down and people were telling me, hey, don't you think you probably should go get a job around now? I could not say yes to that. I couldn't say no to this business. How do people tap into that through line, that really, really deep thread that will nourish and sustain them while they build this heroic business?
At the end of the day, it's just about commitment, but it's about looking at commitment in a much more incremental way. It's so easy to get lost and say, you know, I want to build this business and here's what it's going to look like at the end of the day. But when we're living it day to day and we have those challenges and those doubts and the difficulties, the one thing that has really made a difference for me is taking steps to committing, really just vocalizing my commitment. When I, even though I asked my employer earlier this year to lay me off, that wasn't the first time we had the discussion. The first time I brought it up was a year ago in August, when I told them I would be leaving my job in September, October of 2009. And that was back when the market wasn't certain. But I knew that within me, if I didn't start putting my intention outside of me and making commitments to other people, that I would never fully internalize the commitment to myself. And so what that did is it really opened up floodgates, because then other of my coworkers would ask me about it and they'd get curious, and that would ignite my fire even more, because then I'm like, okay, you know, this is reinforcing it. And so every chance we have with our business, in some way, we need to be renewing that commitment. And it could be as simple as writing something down, although I really prefer public expression. It could be something as simple as posting on Twitter or Facebook a statement about committing or making a decision. It can be a small, difficult decision. Last year, even before all this happened, I had a situation where I had never really invested in my own business building skills to much degree. I mean, maybe an ebook here or there, but no real significant investment. And due to the universe throwing things my way and synchronicities and forces beyond my control, I ended up being very drawn to join Jeff Walker's Product Launch Formula program, which is not a cheap program. It's a $2,000 program. And the night beforehand, I really didn't want to join it. I didn't want to join it, and I didn't sleep well that night. But when it came time to register, I knew I needed to. And a big reason was not as much, although I did need the skills that were in that course, the skills were only a small part of it. The more important part was I was making a commitment. I was financially committing myself and emotionally committing myself to saying, yes, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. I am going to learn these skills. I don't know what they are, but I'm going to learn them, and I'm going to keep doing what it takes. And so one thing I really encourage people to do is to make some sort of financial commitment, even if you don't have much money at all. Go put $5 in a Google AdWords account if you have to, $5 for a month of advertising. Do something that financially commits you, even a little bit, to the path of entrepreneurship, that sends the message externally and internally, you are going to do this. And that snowballs, because every time I make a little commitment, all of those commitments keep adding up, and they keep building inside me this confidence and strength that says, like you said, you can't go back, and I can't go back. I recently started working with a business manager who is phenomenal. And a big part of that, in addition to just the wisdom and skills and everything that she brings to the table, is me making that commitment and saying, okay, we're moving forward. And when I've had some of those doubts about my business and I've thought, okay, maybe I, you know, if everything really goes bad, I could always go back to the corporate world. I know I could walk into another six-figure job, no problem. If everything really goes bad, and she kind of reminded me, she goes, well, you know, is that something you'd do? And I realized at the end of the day, no, I couldn't. I couldn't go back. I mean, I technically could, but my soul won't allow me anymore, because I've made so many of these commitments. And each of these commitments is part of that story. I mean, everything I've shared, you know, so far, it's been in story form. But underneath, you know, parts of each of those stories is commitment. There's always a point where I'm committing a further, deeper part of myself to this path, to this story of being an entrepreneur. So that's the biggest advice I could give, is keep making little commitments to your friends, to your family, to yourself, and they're all going to just add up to the point where you have no choice but to move forward and succeed and empower others and be of service.
Yeah, it'll propel you, because what you're doing is you're naming it, you're invoking it. Every time you say that you're an entrepreneur, you're a conscious business owner, you're naming who you are, you're putting it out there. And And you step into the role of that being, of that conscious business owner. And you start behaving. One of the visions that I just got this image as you were speaking, Chris. I was like, what if we wrote, you know, like the story of right now, whatever the right now is for you around your business, and you wrote it out, and, you know, you read it, and you'd be like, oh, okay, it either inspires you or it doesn't. If it doesn't juice you up, then you write the really exciting story, the story of what, of the possibility, of the potential, of the vision of what your conscious business is, and live into that story. I think that one of the things that happens a lot of times too, Chris, is that we live into the existing story and not into the vision of the story.
Oh, definitely. You know, when you're just talking about labels, I'm just reminded of one of the labels that I used, you know, even after I left my job and I was doing this full time for quite a few months, I kept having difficulty using the word self-employed. I kept always saying unemployed.
Mm.
And it took me a few months to finally shift and go, no, I'm self-employed. You know, the commitment level, you know, it took a little while to get there. But when you're talking about the labels, those little things make a big difference in the way our soul commits to moving forward. And I love what you were saying about the stories and rewriting our stories, because it is a very simple visualization exercise that we can do, is just look at where we're at, write down the story of how we got here, what our business looks like, and write down what we want it to look like. And it may not look like that at the end of the day exactly, but somewhere between where we're at and what we visualize is going to be the reality.
Mm-hmm. So I know you've worked with loads of folks and writing their stories, you know, through your program, through your websites. What have you noticed, Chris, gets in the way of the empowering story?
It's really two big things get in the way primarily. One is the lack of creativity that we sometimes or often feel, or just not drawing from enough sources. Maybe we identify with not being creative. And creativity manifests in many forms. It's not just like writing a story or writing a poem. I mean, creativity can be as simple as, you know, cooking and adding a few new ingredients to it and seeing what happens. You know, creativity is when we step into the unknown. And I think that word is really important, the unknown. Most of us have a fear of the unknown. It's safer to stay where we are, where we're comfortable, and not venture into the unknown. And creativity takes us into the unknown. And so a big challenge people have is, how do they access their creativity? Where do they draw upon their sources of inspiration to move forward? And the other area where people really have is just doubts and fears. You know, we've been talking about that a lot today. The doubts we have as entrepreneurs, and the fears, what if it doesn't work out? What if, just a million what ifs. And so when working with people, those are the two areas that I like to focus on initially the most, because what I found is that in my own experience and in working with others is that the process of writing stories, many people like myself think that they don't know how to write a story. Maybe they're a bad writer. Maybe they lack creativity, lack ideas, fear writer's block. I mean, just tons of challenges people have with even just considering the idea of writing a story. And yet, at the end of the day, that's what we're always doing. You know, when we're writing emails, when we're sharing with friends, all these things, we're already writing stories. So if we can learn to translate what we do intuitively onto the paper and write that story, two things happen. One is we discover that we're creative. We have no choice. We just created something, so you know, we have the evidence. It's on the paper. And the other thing is we overcome the doubts and fears. Again, the evidence is there. We just did it. We did what we were scared of. We wrote the story we didn't want to write. And these skills translate into every aspect of our life. I mean, if we can apply finding our creativity and overcoming doubts and fears to writing, we can apply it to our business, our relationships, athletics, you know, cooking, any skill that we want to learn, we can translate it. And that's where I think the power of Inscribe Your Life really has been for me and other people is, you know, I've had some people that go through the program and they write stories and take off and even self-published a book and some stuff like that. But there's other people that said, you know what, I didn't actually even write a single story after going through your program, but here's what I did with it. And here's the way that's affected my life. And here's the changes in the way I live my story. Here's the changes in the way that I do things. And here's how I've been empowered. And I think that's important because whenever we're looking to education, to systems, to training, there's a real challenging, difficult habit that entrepreneurs have, which is they see something that they like that's great, and they say, okay, I'm going to go do that, and I'm going to learn that skill. And they get a quarter of the way through it, halfway through it, if they're lucky. And then the next big thing comes, and they go learn another skill. And they jump from program to program, coaching to coaching, ebook to video to another ebook. And they're trying to consume all of this information when really what they need to do is sit down with one system, dig into it, learn what it needs to learn, and when it no longer serves them, then go to the next system and learn the next skill. And I think that if people were to approach their professional and personal development a little bit more focused like that, they'd see a lot more unfolding in their story, a lot more deepening of who they are and what they're bringing to the world and the skills that they're learning.
Yeah, it's almost, I know I've been guilty of that, Chris.
Me too.
Yeah, it's like I nibble at, you know, it's like I'm at a buffet table and I'm just nibbling on everything, you know. and you know, I've nibbled on so many things that I can't taste anything anymore. I can't really get the richness out of anything.
Right.
There was going through your program, one of the things that I noticed was this whole thing about focus and attention, which I think really ties in also to the doubts and fears, because even as recently as yesterday, I've noticed how it's such a habit for us to focus. And I've done a lot of this, so I really get out of it really quickly now. But I'll still notice how if somebody says something negative about me or my work, which always happens, there's always people that don't like your work, right?
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Like my energy will go, it's like it wilts a little bit, right? And then immediately I remembered, I was like, oh, Della, but, you know, you got like so many emails and so many folks that are loving what you're doing. So so I was able to really shift it and put it in perspective right away. But one of those things with fears and doubts is that we focus on what's not working versus what is. And I'd just like you to speak a little bit about that, because I noticed that in your course, that you spoke to attention and how that process of imagination and attention creates opportunities.
Yeah, and that's a big focus, like you said, with digging into creativity. For me, what I discovered is that when I pay attention to my environment, to my experience, to what's going on internally and externally, there is just a wealth of ideas that overflow. And the challenge that most people have with creativity is they're looking for creativity. We often try and do an activity to become creative. We will immerse ourselves in an environment to become creative. And what we don't realize is when we do that activity, all we're really doing is we're saying, you know what, I'm going to go someplace different, which will force me to pay attention. And so when we kind of realize that's what we're doing, that's why we're going into these new environments, is to force us to pay attention, to be more aware, then we can bring that back to our daily life. We can start walking down the street and paying attention to everything around us we can pay attention to how we feel inside when someone's talking, like you were mentioning about the criticism. That can be a disabling thing, certainly, when we get bogged down in the criticism. Or if we're paying attention to our internal terrain and what's being said, it can become a source of creativity. I can't count the number of, you know, critical or negative emails I've received from people about my work or the emails that I share. And but what it does is it turns around and gives me much more information, much more fuel, creativity. Now I know what's connecting with my audience at an emotional level.
Yes.
And that's where the stories are. They're at the emotional level. I figure if I'm not getting critical feedback from subscribers, there's something wrong. I'm not pushing some of the comfort zones. I'm not challenging people. I'm not bringing their emotions into the story. Because I know that what I say a lot of times is a little bit on the edge, can be challenging, can be uncomfortable for people because it really challenges the seat of who they are. And so if I'm not getting feedback from people that is critical, then I have to wonder if I'm actually being of service. You know, just like you said, there's no conflict. You know, there's no story without conflict. That's true as we are building our business and the story that involves the interaction between us and our subscribers. When that's happening, there needs to be conflict there as well. Otherwise, again, you know, we're probably missing the mark on our story. So to kind of bring that back to the attention, you know, if we're paying attention to all of these things, to the conflicts, to the challenges, things like writer's block, if we're being attention and present with it, then these challenges become sources of creativity and inspiration rather than disabling. Even writer's block, I talk about it in Inscribe Your Life, it's not really that we lack creativity. It's that right now we're getting a signal that what we are doing is not in alignment with what our soul really wants or needs to be doing. So maybe if we're having trouble writing, we step away for a little while, go meditate, go take a bath, go play for a bit. Or maybe we use that as a sounding board to write about writer's block. Why are we feeling writer's block right now? I mean, it's the brilliant contradiction in itself is that, you know, if we reach a roadblock like writer's block, we could then write about writer's block to overcome it. So.
Yeah, and there's something, too, about I'm someone who in my college theme writing class got a D. And so talk about not being a writer. Well, somebody said I wasn't a writer. And I didn't write, Chris, for over 20 years. There's a great coach, Julie Jordan Scott, who is a dear friend of mine, who is out on the West Coast in California, that actually brought me to my voice again around writing, and I'm so glad that she did. So for those folks who don't think that they are writers, you know, listen up. There's something really powerful about writing, and writing is a transformative act. I have experienced myself. So I would love to know what your experience is. I know that you've worked a lot with people and their stories, but I feel like if we were to write our business story, that we would actually bring it into being a lot quicker just by writing it. And so do you have any tips for folks on, like, let's say if I wanted to sit down right now after this phone call and I wanted to write my heroic business story, what would be some tips, some guidelines that you could give me for that exercise?
Yeah, well, first you want to figure out who your characters are in the story. If it's going to be you and your customers, if you're going to have a metaphorical dragon that you slay, you know, if your business is around helping people set goals, then you're going to be looking at, you know, that becomes your dragon, you know, the lack of ability to set goals. So you want to first figure out, you know, just kind of who the characters are going to be in your story. How you're going to slay them is a great thing. You know, are you going to be producing some ebooks, audios, videos, workshops, things like that? How you're going to slay it And what are some of the conflicts you can actually perceive yourself coming up against? I mean, it's a lot of times when people are doing visualization exercises, it's very easy to visualize something that's totally ideal, and you're like, yes, this is exactly what I want. And law of attraction tells us that's the way to go. But the reality is we're going to have challenges. And if we can look inside ourselves and see what some of those challenges are, we could actually write some of those into the story and make that be something we overcome. So we want to look at the characters. We want to look at what we're going to slay, and we want to look at some of the challenges we're going to need to overcome so that we can become the hero, that our business becomes, you know, heroic. And I think those are sort of the key things. If we know that we lack certain marketing skills, then we're going to want to write into our story, how are we going to overcome that challenge? Are we going to hire someone else who has those skills? Are we going to go out and learn them? Do we realize that certain avenues of marketing don't resonate with who we are or our business? So those are some of the questions that we want to answer when we're looking at what challenge we're going to overcome. And that's not, that can actually be very enabling when we're transparent and authentic about what it is that we're going to be doing. So that's where I'd really start with the story. But even before that, a lot of people who don't have experience with writing, I'd just start putting something on paper. It almost doesn't matter what you put on paper, even if it's not about your business. If you're not used to writing stories and narration, then just write something about yourself. Do some brainstorming around some of the ideas and themes of what you want to have involved. Think about how you can use stories in your business. Those are, you know, write about that as well. You know, do you want to be telling stories in your business? Do you want people to be telling stories about your business? That's something else you can write into your conscious business story.
That's wonderful, Chris. That's a lot. That's plenty of meat in that one to have some fun. And, yeah, I would just say the other thing that I would say, Chris, is, you know, having fun with your business story.
Yeah.
You know, it's because you want to include the aspects in your business. You know, they have to resonate with you. They have to be you. And in life, you know, we certainly want to experience joy. We want to experience abundance. And I know that in as part of the program that you had, the Inscribe Your Life, there was this wonderful money and abundance special report that was in there. And
yeah.
I wonder, it was so great. There were just so many extra bonus stuff that you included in that package that was really phenomenal. Is there anything, because this seems to be a stumbling block for folks too. It's been one for me also a while back. But one of the questions that I've had from folks is, you know, so how can I start my business if, you know, I don't really have a lot of money to start my business? So is there anything around story writing that we can do around money to shift our energy around it?
Yeah, we really need to be looking at what is it that we believe the money will bring us. I mean, we always hear about people who achieved money success and then realized they weren't happy. It's because they weren't being true and authentic about what they wanted. They really wanted the happiness, and they thought the money would bring it to them. So similarly, when we're looking at our business and we're looking at what do we want the money for, I think that's a really important aspect of writing down our story is, do we want it so that we can grow our business? Do we want it so that we can have more time, freedom with our children? Do we want it so that we can start up a nonprofit and maybe feed, you know, hungry people in Africa or homeless people in Uganda? I mean, what is it that we really want that money for? What is it that it's going to bring to us or enable us to bring to the world? And when we have that vision, that ties into what we were talking about commitment earlier. We have a story. If we know that we are trying to help, you know, like you too, you know, they're always helping feed the homeless in Africa. That's their big passion. I'm sure that every time they step on stage, every time they do anything that brings an income, they're thinking about how is this going to help with that vision, that story. And so it's very easy to get hung up with money and think, okay, well, I don't have any. I don't know where to start. But if we know what we're going to be doing with that money, that fires our soul, and we're going to start finding ways to do things that will generate income to help make that become a reality. And we can start writing and brainstorming, what are things that I can do that will be in alignment with what I'm doing and bring in income. A lot of times we get so hung up on the end result that we forget there's a lot of little steps along the way that make it happen. And one challenge I know for me with having not made any money online when I started, so the first thing that made a big difference for me was when I made my first sale. And that's when I realized, oh, I can do this.
Yeah, that's
it. It may only be $27, you know.
Yeah.
It was only $27, but I can do this. And that changes everything, because then we can start a new story. We can write a new story. So anybody who's made any sales online, that's a great place to start. Write about your first sale. Write about how you felt. Write about what changes it, you know, shifted inside you. Because I know, at least for me, that first sale changed everything. And it showed me what was possible, that I could be of service and actually sustain myself and my family through that path of service.
Yeah, you're touching on a really important point here, which is really the value of the story, the biggest value of the story. I was reading one of your stories, Chris, Lightning Crashes, and it brought me to tears.
Oh, yeah. I love that one.
God, that was so powerful. And it's all about, you know, the quote that that I just grabbed from it is, am I willing to sacrifice all that I am and know myself to be for rebirth into a new life? And this is one of the most powerful things about stories, is that it taps our emotions, and our emotions really reflect these core values, the essence of what's true in life. You know, we can all, it doesn't matter where we're from, what culture we're from, we all understand what it's like to sacrifice. We all understand what it's like to risk the known for the unknown. So the big energy, you know, generator that is available in the story is this ability to tap this reservoir of realness that is what touches other people. I mean, think of all the success that, you know, Chicken Soup for the Soul books. They're just,
right,
they're stories. We love stories. We learn from stories. That's the traditional ancient way of teaching, was through stories. And remember, as children, we were just fascinated with stories. So investing the time, the energy into our own business story, and even the story of our life, like, why are we here? What are we doing? What's the wonderful, amazing story of you? Which, to me, is what happens in your program and Inscribe Your Life, as you were sharing. It's folks that may not actually even full out write all the story, but just from experiencing the engagement in the content and the questions and just entertaining the story, things start rippling inside of you. They start shifting. So, you know, this thing about story, it may seem like, you know, oh, you know, it's just writing. Just writing is powerful.
Yeah, and you know, it's really fascinating. I recently read that we actually have an understanding of story and narration before we have the language to describe it. And the way they discovered this was, they had observed a baby in the crib before it went to bed at night, and this is before it could speak. And they noticed for 30 days they just watched it, and this baby kept babbling and babbling. And they took all of those recordings and took them to someone who did some language analysis. And what they discovered is the baby was describing what had happened in their day and was planning their next day. So for those who think that we don't have, you know, what's in a story, well, we've been doing it before we can speak. It's the way that we think. It's not just the words on the paper. It's not just what we say to someone. It's not just our body language. It is the intuitive, most deepest, innate way that we think in the world, the way we experience the world.
So it's an exercise well worth investing in the story of your business. And Chris has given us plenty of tips to get us started and a couple of exercises to get to know what are some of the labels that, you know, for your customers and for yourself with your customers, some of the things that you might want to play with. So, Chris, I would love to for you to just talk a little bit. I know that I've been mentioning it because I've been going through it, and I'm nowhere near done going through all the content in your Describe Your Life program.
Yeah, it's pretty massive.
Whoa, massive wasn't even the word. I'm like, whoa. I'm going to need 6 months to go through this. but you know, one of the good things, too, is that you can dip in. And you, there's just so many tasty morsels. There's so many things that, that you can just dive in right now and get what you need right now, because that's what I did. So can you tell us a bit about Inscribe Your Life, Chris?
Yeah. In a nutshell, it's a multimedia system that's designed to show you how to write stories, just the basics. It's not an in-depth how-to guide or anything like that. It's just what are the raw basics you need to know how to write a story, and how to grow from that process, how you can apply it to other aspects of your life, such as your conscious business story. And that's what the core guidebook is. And then, as you mentioned, there's a lot of peripheral materials. There's guided meditations, one on creativity, one on overcoming doubts and fears. There's the special report on money and abundance and how to write your, how to, you know, a step-by-step process, how to write your story to abundance. There's another workbook on partnering with your inner critic. That's huge. I mean, our inner critic is with us our whole lives, and it's always got something to say mm-hmm. about how it disapproves of what we're doing. And that workbook has proven for some people to be more powerful than the whole program combined, because it just, it gets straight to the heart of what's that critical voice saying, why is it saying it, and how can we turn that critical voice into our partner, literally, to empower us instead of disempower us. So that's one of my personal favorite aspects, and I'm always delighted to hear what people discover from it. They always find amazing insights. And then there's also some other stuff. I put a video in there, like a creative visualization board, pictures, music, and quotes that really are poignant about accessing our creativity and knowing that we can write. You know, I know I'm forgetting something because, like I said, the program's massive and I'm always adding more to it. I can't help myself.
There's loads. And you mentioned my favorites, because the Inner Critic workbook was one of my favorites, too. I had that one jotted down because that was going on all the time. That's what I was referring to, you know, a little earlier. You know, forget about the people outside of us that are criticizing us, right? There's someone, you know, in-house all the time. And learning, you know, just really getting familiar to how to navigate with that voice, it's really priceless, because it's always with you. And so, you know, there's so many tools for folks with this program that you have. That's really extraordinary. So let me tell folks where the link is. It's at consciousbusinesstelesummit.com/inscribe. And it's also, if you're on the webcast, it's in that button on the lower right-hand side. And you can click on that. And I will also send it in the follow-up email for everyone. Chris, this has been a delightful hour with you. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. I've had so much fun with you. I'm looking forward to doing it again.
Yeah, absolutely. I knew we'd have a good time together. So let me just unmute folks so we can say goodbye.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
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 Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Chris. Chris.
Bye.
Thank you, Chris. Bye.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Great.